Pomp and Show, Joe Show goes on. Austin is behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-98-9370. I want to remind you that Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Win Paramount Plus or visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Also, fan Twitter, South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, SouthHillsKia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Let's continue around the NFL. And so we have two games to talk about, limits, and also one yet to be played. We'll talk first about the Packers and Lions. That was a showcase game, second game of the doubleheader on CBS. And the Lions have lost both coordinators, and I think it showed a little bit yesterday. And the Packers are loaded. That's a team I think will win it all this year. They're loaded to do it. Jordan Love, 2 touchdowns. He was really good in the passing game. I think outperformed Jared Goff. They add Micah Parsons to it. I expected a Packers win, but maybe not this easily.
I'm concerned about those Lions a little bit, Bob. I had them going to the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills. That is my Super Bowl pick. But not a good start, and I guess it does matter significantly when you lose your coordinators. We saw that transpire with Philadelphia a couple of years ago. Jordan Love can play, man, and that's why I picked him to win the MVP last year. He got hurt this year, off to a really good start. Micah Parsons didn't do much, but did impact the game at times with pretty good pressures.
Yeah, he did. He got a sack. He had 3 pressures. 16 of 22 was Jordan Love. 2 touchdowns, modest yardage, but he didn't turn the ball over. He did everything that a starting quarterback should do in a big game like that. It didn't lose the game. He went out there and won the game and managed it very well. All right, so they're 1-0. Let's go to the other game we haven't talked about, Texans and the Rams. And the Texans had all sorts of problems in this game. The Rams, were trailing, came back with a third-quarter touchdown. Matthew Stafford goes over 60,000 career yards. 14-9. I'm not sold on either of these teams. I don't think the Rams nor the Texans will make the playoffs.
Yeah, Stafford, the 10th quarterback in history to reach 60,000. You don't think that they're even going to make it?
No.
Wow. I'm surprised
Joe
by that.
Joe wanted bold picks the other day, so I said, okay, I'll go bold on you. That doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but if you want bold, I'll be bold.
That's bold. Some people have the Rams going like to the NFC Championship.
They do. I'm not sold.
That is bold. I like it. I like the Rams. I think him and – if Stafford can stay healthy, him and Puka Nacua – are a really good duo. Plus, is Devontae Adams going to become a factor?
He had a couple of catches. Nothing significant yesterday.
He had 4 for 51. Puka was, of course, great. 10 for 130. I like Kyren Williams in their running game. That's a good team.
Yeah,
Houston, I have my questions. Houston, I have some questions.
But I just don't think – I think Stafford's going to have some problems this year with his health. He's already had some back stuff going on, and there could be more. So, I'm not that I want that to happen, but that could happen, and that's what's affected my decision-making on them. All right, tonight we have 8:15. We have the Vikings and the Bears. Interesting, J.J. McCarthy against the Bears team that brings over Ben Johnson as their head coach from Detroit that we just mentioned. I'm going to be very interested to see how the Bears do, but more importantly, I want to see how J.J. McCarthy does, because they also had a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. They chose not to because they believe in this guy who missed all of last year.
I want to see how J.J. McCarthy does. I want to see what Caleb Williams looks like with a new coordinator. We know how good that Ben Johnson and Jared Goff was as a duo. Does Caleb Williams get it all figured out? He was screaming and yelling because he couldn't throw the ball correctly into a net a couple of weeks ago during training camp. So are those frustrations real, or has Caleb Williams figured it out? This is a big game for Caleb because the noise is going to grow significant in Chicago. There's actual expectations in that town now. Where if J.J. McCarthy loses, okay, first start, on the road, whatever. Caleb and the Bears have to win this game.
Yeah, I think they need a fast start, but it's not going to be easy against Kevin O'Connell knows how to call games, and they really believe in J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see. We saw some good and some bad from him in the preseason. I think that's one worth watching just because of the Bears and whether or not they can take all that talent they have and move it forward.
Oh, and Flores is going to be coming after.
Oh, certainly.
He's going to be coming
should.
After Caleb Williams.
If I were Brian Flores, I'd do the same. And that's one of those guys that, even yesterday, I expected Aaron Rodgers to be blitzed a little bit more than they even blitzed him, because the numbers last year suggested that he wasn't all that good against the blitz, and that's the one way to rattle him a little bit if you're going to do it at all. They did it from time to time, but not enough to make a difference.
No, they really didn't need to blitz. They were getting pressure with 4 so consistently and so well. Maybe they thought that they didn't need to do it.
Maybe so, but... All right, we have more sound to play here, and you just got something in on Adam Schefter. He was on the McAfee show, and he was asked about the Steelers and their win.
And this what are your thoughts on the Steelers world?
You know, the Steelers won as many games this season after one game in which they allowed 30-plus points as they did in the previous 6 years. So they had gone 6 years without giving up that many points and scoring that many points to win. They won in an unconventional way. We talked during the offseason about how these were not your father's Steelers. They were going out, making trades, doing deals, making big-time acquisitions. Like, we never see the Steelers act like that. Well, guess what? We never see the Steelers win games in shootouts like this, the way that Aaron Rodgers did yesterday in New York against the Jets. Obviously, he took it personally, but they win 34-32. Chris Boswell, in the past, when some team has scored over 30 against Pittsburgh, which doesn't happen very much, they don't score over 30 to win that game. Yesterday was the first time they did that in 7 seasons. So clearly this team can do it a lot of different ways. And Rodgers is inspired, and Jalen Ramsey comes up there and lays the wood on Garrett Wilson to close out the game at the end of the game. Another one of those acquisitions. And so, yeah, that's a strong start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers showed everybody he could still play. Great big win for Pittsburgh.
Huge win for Pittsburgh. Huge win for their fans.
But I will say this. I don't know if he's right on that. He said 7 years. Didn't Bengals score in the 30s and they lost in that shootout game with Russell Wilson? Can you find the score of that game? Last year, right, when the Steelers went to Cincinnati, they won a game where they scored in the 40s, and I think the Bengals had it in the 30s.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't remember the final score on top of that.
It was 44-38.
Yeah, so that's wrong.
That number's wrong.
They gave up 38 points in a game they won. And so it wasn't. It was just last year they did that. But he's right that it's unconventional that they win this way. And if they continue to evolve this offense and they continue to be productive in the passing game, but they will need a running game. That's you know, I don't want to talk about this in an urgent state, Austin, but I will say this. Is there concern with the offensive line and the defensive line? Is there concern with a run game that needs to be better? Yeah, you want to see more. Just because the Jets are a team that I thought you could establish a little bit more of that. They didn't do it. I think this week you'll see more of that. I think you'll see more runs early in the game against Seattle.
Well, and I think that's kind of the game that both teams really want to play, right? Like, Seattle with Sam Darnold, they want to run the football with Kenneth Walker and, you know, establish that to be able to set up the pass. The Steelers want to be able to set up play action for Aaron Rodgers, so you need an effective running game. Especially after this last week, they didn't run the football very well. So, yeah, I would imagine that there's going to be pretty prevalent rushing attacks this Sunday on the North Shore.
All right. I want you to cue up for me Ray Fittipaldi's scorecard. Joe had teased to that, and I do want to get into it because Ray always has some good grades handed out. And we can give our take on what we think these grades should be. And I'm going to start with coaching, just because that's something we always talk about. I thought the coaching staff did a very good job in this game plan. They were kind of fluid with it. I think the objective coming into this was to run the ball, set that up. It didn't work all that way, so they immediately went to more passing, and they trusted Aaron Rodgers, as they should, someone who's a four-time MVP of the league. I would give the coaching staff in this one a B-plus or an A-minus, one of those two.
Yeah, I give the coaching staff honestly a B-minus. Just because Tomlin is the one that runs the defense. Like, Mike Tomlin is the one that has the oversay. He's the one that put this team together, and they flopped. The defense flopped in yesterday's game. They won. They made a play when they needed to late. They didn't play very well. On the flip side, the offense, Arthur Smith, dialed up some good things, was able to get away from an offensive line that struggled. I give him a B-. Ray gives them a C+.
Coaching in general,
C+. Ray mentioned
Ray Fittipaldi of the Post Gazette always comes out with that hot to take scorecard.
Yeah, Ray always, you know, is a tough grader. He says, as for the defense, Mike Tomlin predicted his unit could do historic things. Tomlin has supreme confidence in his defense, but it has started to play better, or its coach is going to have egg on his face. How about that?
There's no question. Normally, you don't want to put that kind of stuff out there. Just because it always comes back to haunt you. When you say unleash hell in December and you don't do it, that quote resonates. So, yeah, but I just think overall, offensively, they did a pretty good job adjusting to what was available to them. Play calling was better there, so that's why my grade went the way it was. As far as quarterback, clearly an A or A plus. I don't know what else you can give it.
A plus for Aaron. Ray gives him an A plus as well.
All right, run game. Now this would be a C minus for me. You?
Yeah, I'm at a C minus. I think that's a good place to put it. Ray gives it just a C. Give Jalen Warren credit for the touchdown catch, but the Steelers need more out of this group. Kenneth Gainwell was the starter. I think he's a good back. He shouldn't be starting. It should be more so Warren.
Right.
Like, I was okay with Gainwell playing the amount of snaps that he did in that matchup because I thought that, you know, it worked. I think he's a good player. But ultimately, where's Caleb Johnson? Like, he had two carries, and it was, like, in the fourth quarter. You didn't try to ease him in at all in the first half? Try to get him going? I know he's returning kicks.
Where was Roman Wilson? We didn't see him either, which leads us to wide receivers. No. So the grade on this is interesting to me because I thought, you know, DK Metcalf did a good job. He didn't get all that much action, I think four catches, but he showed you what he could do when he gets the ball and turn on the speed. Austin was really good. We didn't see much else. I'm going to include the tight ends into this, too.
Yeah, that's all rated.
Yeah. So I would give them a B. You?
I give them a B plus. I think ultimately Jonnu did a couple of really nice things. I want to see more Freiermuth involved in the action, but they spread the ball around. There was no big mistakes. They were all good plays around. Plus Skoranek, you got to give him credit on special teams. He's a, you know, for what he was able to accomplish and put out there. I give them a B plus, and Ray gives them a B plus as well.
Offensive line. This will be interesting given the fact they gave up a lot of pressures and sacks for them. They didn't open up holes. Offensive line would get a C minus for me, maybe a D.
Oh, they get a D for me. They definitely get a D. They were not very good. Like Broderick Jones at the focal point of that was a problem. Zach Frazier, I think, did fine. The rest of the line.
Sam Alu was not, you know, I mean, he needs to help out over there, too, on that left side. If Broderick Jones is going to have some problems, Sam Alu has to be, or maybe give him some chip help over there. Somebody's got to help out Broderick Jones if he's going to struggle early on.
Well, why don't they have a tight end go over there and help him out?
They could.
Why is nobody chipping for him?
Darnell Washington says if it ever came to the point in training camp, we asked him this about being an offensive lineman. He seemed to smile and say, yeah, if that happens, I think I can handle it. And I think he can, too.
Or why not Freiermuth? Just start at the line and chip.
All right, so now that moves into defense. I want to talk about their defensive line. And again, they got gouged. That would be a D or a D minus based on what they didn't do.
They get a D minus, and, you know, Bob, they could get an F. Like, the defensive line was not very good. Keanu Benton, is he going to get better? Like, where is Keanu Benton? I find myself asking that question all the time, especially during that game. Like, is Keanu Benton going to make a play of substance?
Well, yeah, he almost made an interception yesterday, which would have been a good athletic move, but he did not do what he was supposed to do on that defensive line. I thought Loudermilk made a nice play at the two-point conversion, which he stopped the first one by the Jets. But other than that, they need that defensive line to make life easier for the outside linebackers to do their job.
Yeah, they ran for 180 yards on that defensive line. It wasn't good. There were multiple gaps. And if you're trying to say that Derek Harmon, a rookie, is going to be able to come in here and fix it, look, you're going to have confidence in Derek Harmon. I don't have that much confidence in Derek Harmon.
What did Ray give him?
Ray gave them an F.
And he's a hard grader. I went D minus and I resisted F, but because I think they did a decent enough job on the passing plays that were successful. So I'm not going to go that hard, but I understand why he would do it. Linebackers, this includes all of them. I thought it was a tough day for Peyton Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be better in the middle, especially if the defensive line itself can't do the job done. You know, I thought Highsmith did a pretty good job. I give them probably a C.
I give him a C as well. It was not a good day for the best coverage linebacker in the NFL, the self-proclaimed best coverage linebacker in the NFL in Peyton Wilson. Like, Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt were good against the run. Where were they rushing the passer? Highsmith got home. Watt wasn't able to. They get a C.
All right, now we go to, let's do defensive backfield in general, just because, I mean, we're going to break it down, unless you want to do it, break it down.
Let's just do the secondary in general.
Secondary in general. You know, that's a hard one for me to gauge because I think their biggest problems were up front, more so than in the defensive backfield. I thought Darius Slade did not have a good day.
No.
He got beat one-on-one by Garrett Wilson, and I would expect the teams may look in his direction quite a bit. Joey Porter got injured in this game. Ramsey was good. I'd give him a C+.
If a Super Bowl team lets you go without really much resistance, there might be a reason for that. Darius Slade being 34 and getting just run right past by Garrett Wilson, that's giving me a little bit of pause. I'm wondering about Deshaun Elliott. What's his availability going to be? Without him, I think Chuck Clark played fine. They get a C.
Yeah, he was one of their leading tacklers. He came in and played pretty well, actually.
Yeah, they get a C. Yeah. They get a C plus.
Ray gave him what?
Ray gives him a C minus.
That was my grade. So I mean, there's still a lot of football coming on. This is 1 week. A lot of these guys did not play at all in the preseason, and I do think that has an impact. And maybe Joey Porter's injury, you know, soft tissue when you get hamstrings and things like that, it's because you haven't played all that much, and it happens with all teams in the first week of the season. All right, I want to remind you here that the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I forgot one, special teams. I'd have to give a slow start to special teams. I thought they didn't start all that well, but I have to give them an A because they forced a turnover. They made kicks. And I mean, when it came down to it, they were the difference in this game.
Yeah, they got
to
get an A+. Like, Waitman had one punt that was a little bit shaky, but Boz... And there's no warm-up for you, Boz. There's no easy chip shots. Come out and drill a 56-yarder and a 60-yard field goal. Not an easy way to start the year. And then for Gainwell to have the forced fumble on special teams, that was huge. That helped turn the game. They get an A+.
Yes, absolutely.
Ray gives them that, too.
Two big-time plays that they absolutely needed to have. Three, actually, when you count the 56-yarder as well. So that's our report card. Steelers week one win 34-32. Seattle comes to town tomorrow. Mike Tomlin's press conference. You're here live right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We have more coming up. We'll try to squeeze in a call or two before we go. Final segment of the show. It's the Pomp and Joe show here. Joe had to leave early. Austin is behind the glass. And we have some news concerning Russell Wilson. There was talk after the game that Brian Daboll may make a switch to Jackson Dart. He may pull the trigger early. After the game, he was non-committal. But today, Austin, he was committal. And what did he say?
Yeah, it will be Mr. Unlimited. Broncos country will ride in week two against the Dallas Cowboys.
They ride maybe right into a ditch. They'll be 0-2 the way things are going up there. And if that's the case, at some point you're going to see Jackson Dart. That's a lot of pressure on a first-round pick coming in, especially given that city and the amount of media coverage it gets and also the amount of criticism it gets from his fans. But he seems up to it. At least he did in the preseason. But the regular season is a whole different game.
The fact that they're already talking quarterback change after week one, Bob, was it really that bad of a game for the Giants? Like, it wasn't good.
Well, they scored 6 points.
Right. But, I mean, they're already ready to pull that ripcord.
He could have avoided this altogether by saying, Russell Wilson's our quarterback for now. You know, he could have done that yesterday. By not doing it, he opened up all of this stuff.
Yeah, he opened up Pandora's box for today there to be a possibility. That's why all the insiders are tweeting it out at the exact same time. Russell Wilson will be the starter.
All right, so they're going to name a quarterback of the week. They do this with promotional companies they have out there. They have a running back, the FedEx Ground running back guy of the week, and it'll be Derrick Henry, even though he had that critical fumble, I think. But if you had a choice between Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers for your quarterback of the week, who would you pick?
See, to be completely honest, and here's why, I would go with Aaron Rodgers because he's 41. The expectations, what were they? We expect Josh Allen to be great, and Josh Allen was great. Aaron Rodgers, did anybody expect him to come out and throw 4 touchdowns in this game? People were saying the score was going to be like 13-6. They put up 34 points. Like, I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers a little pat on the back here for being able to go out there and have that number that he did, 240 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, in a debut. Nobody has ever done that.
Right. It's so only quarterback Aaron in the last 60 years to do that. He had the higher passer rating in the last 7 years of any Steeler quarterback. That's all well and good. I got to be honest, though. I would take into account the 41 is a good thing. He's 41, and you know, the expectations were not the same as they are in Buffalo. But given Buffalo, that situation they were in, given the opposition, which was a team many people predicted to win a Super Bowl this year and still might, I would have to go with him only because of the deficit they were in and how he, more than anyone, guided them to the points they needed. He had over 200 yards passing in the final, like, 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And that's when they needed it the most. So, yeah, maybe there could be co-winners, whatever the case may be, because both did great jobs. I would also think that Justin Herbert should be in there somewhere because of what he did in that game. But other than those three, I don't think anyone else would qualify.
There's really no wrong answer here. Like, let's be real. There isn't. Josh Allen is going to end up probably winning it. And he's very deserving. He's very worthy of this award based on what he did. I think it's interesting also, though, that Rodgers leads the NFL in touchdown passes. His four, nobody else threw four this weekend.
That's true.
Nobody else did that. So Rodgers, statistically, plus he did it on the road, plus he did it against his former team that gave up on him, has a lot of feathers in that cap.
No, there's no question.
But you're right. Allen had a great day.
Allen pulled off a comeback that nobody thought possible, made possible by Baltimore contributing to it. Like, normally, when you deal with comebacks, normally there is a team that contributes to it. If they don't fumble that, there is no comeback. It's as simple as that. And again, I go back to the play right before halftime. If he doesn't make that play, which set up an unlikely field goal, 3 points made a big difference after Sean McDermott was trying to catch up with two-point conversions and he kept going backwards in that regard. Another example of doing too much expectation on two-point conversions early in games. There's no need for them until you really need them, I think.
Yeah, they've had that issue with, do you go for two now? Do you decide not to? Like, it seems like that's kind of an NFL issue where, like, a certain amount of teams that always go for two. Like, you see it a lot with Detroit. They'll do it in instances. But when you really need to, when your back is against the wall, and you ultimately decide, well, 9-point game, 8-point game, 7-point game. That's something that has just never been figured out, though, Bob. It's like a perfect science.
No.
Some people still decide to chase the points instead of doing it when they ultimately need to, whether it be like their last drive. I kind of would rather do it earlier, though, just because I'd rather put myself in that position later where, yeah, I have more time to be able to make up for it, but if I can make an 8-point game, a 6-point game, where I score a touchdown and I kick the extra point and I win, I think it's a worthwhile gamble.
Yeah, it depends. There are a lot of people out there who have different feelings about this. I'm one of those, like, for example, the Jets. I would have kicked the extra point after the penalty. They missed it. Penalty on the Steelers, kick it again. Ever since then, they had to chase that, and those two-point conversions that did not work cost them. So, all right, the thing about Russell Wilson, he's going to go against the Cowboys. You talk about an interesting game the two teams desperately need to win. And what were your thoughts of George Pickens? Not much in that first game. I expected a little bit more, but again, it's one game.
He committed a couple of penalties and looked like he was disinterested, Bob.
And blocking, not his forte. I mean, when he does engage to it, he's pretty good. When he doesn't, he looks terrible, and that was one of those situations that we saw there. As far as the Steelers at Seattle coming in this coming week, we'll spend a lot of time talking about what the Steelers have to do to get to 2-0, and I think we all believe that if they're going to do anything this year, they have to start fast. Last year was proof positive. It was 10-3. They took advantage of an early season schedule, and they ran into a wall after that. This year, there'll be another wall waiting for them. They got some tough teams at the end of the year, but if they start fast and win these games that they're supposed to win, it gives them some cushion. I expect the Steelers, and I looked at the line of that game, and I expect it to be bigger than it is. I think it's, is it five? Is it, what is the line? I think it's changed, actually. I saw one, and then later in the day, I saw it change. Seattle should, in my view, should be a 5.5 to 6.5 point underdog in this game. I know it's not that high.
No, right now it's 2.5.
See, I would take the Steelers all day on that one.
I would too.
I just don't. Seattle strikes me as a team that's going to struggle offensively right now. But for some reason, it's 2.5 in that game.
Well, especially you're taking that show on the road that's had some trouble with their running game. That is still, look, they got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They got Cooper Kupp. Kupp didn't have that great of a day.
No.
Not a good debut for him in Seattle. What is Sam Darnold going to look like on the road? These are all significant questions where I don't think Seattle, like, do they have a very good offensive mind at coordinator? I don't think so. It's a defensive culture with Mike McDonald. The Steelers should be able to hold their own against Seattle.
Plus, they have to travel all the way. They had a tough loss yesterday to a rival San Francisco, and they got to go across country. That never seems to be a recipe for success for any of those teams coming over there. But, you know, there are games the Steelers have had in the past that make you think, oh, this is a must win, or this is an easy win, or a game they should win, and they stumble. We've seen that over the years, and that's one of those. So I don't think it'll happen on the home opener like it did a few years ago when San Francisco came here.
They took
and just,
over the stadium.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe how many. You never see that in Pittsburgh.
Ever.
Never. But they did, and they came in, and they dominated the game as well. So
you think this could be that game where
– No.
You don't think
I think New England more has – the New England game is more – of one of those upset alert kind of games, I would think. On the road?
But yeah, but I don't even think they're favored in that game. I think the Patriots are favored at home against them in that.
Yeah, but if you're a Steelers fan, you look at that game, you say, that's one you got to win, right?
I think they're going to lose. I predicted them to lose at the beginning of the season.
All right. Well, if that's I would expect them to win that game. Would I be surprised if they lost? No. But again, if you're going to look at their schedule down the road, there are a lot of tough games. And while they can hold their own in the AFC North against some of these teams, I mean, you want to give yourself as much cushion as you can. And against New England and Seattle, they should win those games. All right, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Mr. Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Austin, for being very alert back there doing all the things you do. You got a lot of stuff going on back there. It's like a symphony of things.
Well, thank you for steering the ship today, Bob.
Well, yeah, and we miss Joe. Hopefully everything's good, and he'll be back here. In the meantime, join us every day from 10 to 2. We didn't talk about Bubba Chandler real quick before we go. I was just disappointed that he got beat around. But then again, Milwaukee's one of those teams that they could beat every team. They're really good. I think Pat Murphy's going to win Manager of the Year for the second year in a row. I mean, Chandler gave up 9 runs yesterday in his first ever start. Am I going to overreact to that? No, because he was pretty good in the first 3 times we've seen him.
But, yeah, see, I originally wanted him to come up and start. Like, that is what I wanted. They put him in the bullpen. He had 3 outings, 3 pretty decent outings. I mean, the last one against the Dodgers was, you know, a little ho-hum. But he gets the opportunity to start, and whew,
yeah,
not very good. Now, I wouldn't take the opportunity away from him. I would throw him right back out there 5 days. And
that's what
say,
September is for a team that's in last place. You got to see what you got. Let him go out and see how he adapts.
Right.
Does it affect him in his next outing? All these things you can learn from. I think he's a pretty tough kid. It's just one of those days. I think Milwaukee's a really good hitting team. Yeah. Underrated.
Tough day. I kind of wish they would have got him out of there a little bit earlier when, you know, you give up 9 runs that can kind of be a little bit wary on a, you know, 22-year-old kid's confidence. It can have some effect, but I think ultimately he has that type of mentality and personality where Bubba Chandler can just shake it off and be able to recover from this and bounce back out there against a team that is not the Brewers, that is not the best team in all of baseball, and does not have a team that has a bunch of nobodies that end up absolutely killing the ball, people that you've never heard of that compliment a lot of their stars like Yelich and the other guys that they have factoring in.
But they're just a fundamentally strong team. I made a bet on them at the very beginning of the season that they would get to the World Series. I didn't know if they could win it, but I just thought they have the kind of team that goes underrated because everybody talks about the Juan Sotos, the Dodgers of the world, the Phillies. But here they are. Every year they figure out a way to win a division and be competitive, and they have the kind of team that can do it again.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are somewhat of a mess, too, this year, Bob. Like, they are...
Yeah, they're struggling. The fact that they got swept here, and then that other... Did you see the game on Friday night where they had a lead?
No.
They were, I think it was 3-0 into the bottom of the ninth. Yamamoto was throwing a no-hitter, I think it was. Whatever the case. So Baltimore breaks it up, and then they go on to score like 4 or 5. I don't know how what the specific run total was, but they were down to their last out, I think, and he had a no-hitter going. And they lost a no-hitter, and they lost the game.
They avoided being swept by Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, so they're struggling for sure.
7 of their last 10 they've lost.
Yeah, teams go through it, but not that team with that payroll. All right, we're out of time, but before I go, I want to tell you about Pittsburgh weather today. Sunny with a high of Evgeny Malkin, 71, a low of 54, Zach Frazier. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We'll reconvene tomorrow at 10 a.m. As always, stick around. The PM team is coming up. KDK-TV Sports Tonight. Rich Walsh will have a Steelers Monday edition, first of the new year. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Austin, always appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a good day, and we'll see you again tomorrow right here on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.